Turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And as you get there, we're going to start in verse 13 tonight. And once you get there, if you would, just stand, if you're able to do so, to honor the reading of God's Word. I'm speaking on this subject tonight. Never contain the name of Jesus. Never contain the name of Jesus. So starting in verse 13, we're going to read down to verse 22. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is made known to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them or severely threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name,'" speaking of the name of Jesus. In verse 18, "they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." If you would, go ahead and be seated and bow with me as we pray for the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. And God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would just move me aside, that you would speak through me. I pray that you would be glorified in all we say and do in this place tonight. That you would just flood this place with your presence. That you would change hearts, you would change lives. And we would leave today being closer to you than we ever have been before. God, we thank you, we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love reading the first part of Acts and seeing Peter is just on fire for God at this point. He is absolutely on fire. He cannot contain himself. He is excited. And all these events that have led up to it, I look kind of at Peter as somebody that in high school, he probably would have, if they would have had senior superlatives, he probably would have been voted most likely to speak out of turn. He probably would have been voted most likely to not be able to contain himself. Peter likes to be bold. He likes to stand up and speak. And we know that he's not perfect, but he's willing to step up and proclaim Jesus Christ. And so thinking of that, I'm not perfect. I haven't made all the right decisions in my entire life, but I'm willing to stand up and proclaim the name of Jesus. I don't want to contain it anymore. And so tonight, in talking about never containing the name of Jesus, we're going to look at what Peter does while he's with John. Leading up to this, at the beginning of Acts, we see the day of Pentecost has come. And there's all these Jewish people from different areas speaking different languages. And God shows up and shows a sign, shows a wonder. They're able to speak in tongues and understand each other. And as I was reading, it's like, well, yeah, they were able to understand each other so they could hear the gospel when Peter was ready to present it to them. But as I read further, I realized that they were able to understand each other so that they could get their attention. They were marveling already at what was going on. And then Peter gets up and he addresses the crowd. He's ready to teach. And he's not containing himself anymore. He's not just preaching, well, let's everybody just love each other and have fun and this is going to be a great time at church. No, he's ready to get up and be bold. And he's going to say, listen, all of you people need to repent. Your people just months ago were the ones that crucified Jesus Christ. And he's saying, repent, go and be baptized, be saved, be forgiven of your sins. He doesn't want to contain it. He's excited about what God is doing in his life. He's excited that Jesus has risen from the dead. And he wants to go and proclaim it to these Jewish people that are not saved yet, that don't believe this. He's speaking to a Jewish nation that believe that Jesus Christ is still dead. And so in doing this, he gets up in front of this crowd, and some of them had been mocking him. They were saying, I don't know how this is happening. Maybe we've been drunken unto wine. And Peter says, no, this is the power of God. And he gets ready and he preaches to them. Like I said, he's ready to stand up and be bold. He's willing to speak out. He's willing to proclaim the apostles' doctrine, Jesus' doctrine, the truth that we read today, the truth that we believe in today. And that just excites me because when you see in Acts chapter 2, just a few pages back, Peter said unto them, this is after the men said, what shall we do? They hear Peter's preaching and they say, brethren, it said it pricked them at their heart. So now they're looking around, what should we do? And Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And then you jump down to verse 41. It says, they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls. Are you talking about being on fire for God? If I saw that, I would be elated. I would be, I mean, I would not be able to contain myself. And that's where we're at with Peter. Because these people had been believing false doctrine and lies and the evilness of the world. And I had the privilege of sitting in to Michael and Ashley Walden's Sunday school class this morning. And we talked a lot about the fake news that we see today and the evil that we see in the world, that there's so much false doctrine out there and people want you to believe whatever's out there. And we need Christians to build a community together, to stand together, and to proclaim the truth instead. So that's what Peter is doing, proclaiming truth in the midst of a bunch of lies. And what happens when you proclaim truth? When you proclaim truth and you don't contain yourself, you don't contain the name of Jesus within you, you spread it around people, 3,000 people were added. And then you just skip forward a couple more verses. 47, it says they were all in one accord, praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. I believe revival's starting. I believe that people are getting excited about what God is doing, but there's some people that aren't. The Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, the authority in the land, the people that can shut things down. You see, right after this has happened, right after Peter preaches this message, 3,000 people are added, souls, and then people are being added to the church daily. They're going up to the temple to pray, and there's a lame man right there at the steps. People had been carrying this man to the steps to beg every day. He sat up there and begged, and he had been not able to walk his entire life. And he sees Peter and John walking up, and they come up, and Peter says to him, gold and silver I have nothing to give you, but in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And I thought about that. A man that had been lame for 40 years, think, there's no way you're going to have the muscle tone, the joints, to be able to just get up and just walk around. It's going to take time. In today's world, if you get in some sort of accident and lose the ability to walk, or maybe you have a limp, it takes a long time to get that strength back. You have to go to rehab. You have to strengthen the muscles. You have to work it out so that you can get back to normal. This man immediately gets up and is leaping around. He is running around praising God, and he had been lame for over 40 years. So again, these people are seeing the miraculous work of God, and they're seeing Peter and John willing to go out and speak truth in the name of Jesus because they don't want to contain themselves. They want other people to know about it. They want people to see who God really is in a society at this point that doesn't want to believe that Jesus Christ is risen. Aren't you glad we serve a Christ that's risen today? I am. I'm so excited about that, knowing that my God is risen and I can put my faith and my trust in him. And that's what Peter and John are trying to get across to these people. So then, after that lame man is healed, it amazed me what happens. I told you, Peter is bold. Peter is just a bold person, and I love it. He goes, and they heal this man in the name of Jesus Christ. He gets up, he's leaping around, and all the people around come, and they come up to him, and they're like, how did this happen? And they're amazed by what's going on. And Peter looks at him in verse 12 of chapter 3. It says, when Peter saw it, he answered to the people, you men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Again, he's telling these people, you are the people that crucified Jesus Christ. You denied him. He is alive and risen, and you are the people. He's preaching another sermon. He's preached, 3,000 people have been added. They're adding to the church daily. They've healed a man in the name of Jesus. These people are excited, and he turns around and he says, I'm going to preach to you again because I can't contain myself. I want to be bold. I want to speak truth to this nation, to these people, so that people understand the truth, the gospel, the apostles' doctrine, Jesus Christ in the flesh, alive today, risen. And that's what he's trying to get across to them. And so he preaches again, and he tells them again to repent. Sinners, repent and be forgiven of your sins. Be saved. Serve the risen God. He's not dead in a grave. He is alive and well. And see, the Jewish council, they're upset about this. They're upset about them preaching this doctrine. We read that the Jewish council thought they were unlearned. They were not knowledgeable. And so in my studying, I realized that the Jewish council, they examined everybody that was going to be teaching. Rabbis, they examined who was going to be presenting doctrine. And so when they see these two people presenting the doctrine of Jesus Christ and these miracles that are happening that everyone in the land has seen at this point, they are threatened. Their backs are against the wall. What are we going to do? Let's throw them in prison. So they arrest them because they're thinking, well, we'll just arrest them, we'll threaten them, and we'll defuse the situation. And it was around nighttime, so they arrest them and they keep them in there the entire night. And then they go to get up the next morning. But right before that happened, Peter preaches that sermon. And this is awesome. The Jewish council in verse 2 of chapter 4 says, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were upset that they were preaching the risen Christ. They laid hands on them, put them in a hold until the next day, for it was now the evening. And howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's just the men, not including women and children. People are getting saved and added to the church by the thousands. And nobody can deny it. This Jewish council can't deny what's going on. Peter can't contain himself. Can you imagine how excited he must be? I get excited at revival when 5 people get saved or when 1 person gets saved. Can you imagine thousands being added to the church, people being added to the church daily because truth is being spoken outside of these walls, because Christians are standing up and saying, I'm tired of the lies that the world is filling our kids' minds with. I want to speak truth. I want to go out and tell people that Jesus Christ is who we should be exalting, who we should be glorifying, we should be lifting up. And now they're thrown in a prison for doing that thing, just by being bold and doing that. Think of how their spirits might have been crushed. I would have been like, man, I'm doing this and look at all these amazing things that are happening, but now I'm sitting in a prison. We're getting in trouble now. Maybe it's time to start backing off a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if I can handle this grief of being in prison. I don't know if I can handle the chains. We can get out of here by just saying, okay, we won't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. We'll just put it back inside and we'll go out and go on our way. We know, we believe people have been saved already. We've seen that happen. So it's okay. We can just let it go now. But no way. That's not what Peter does at all. Because they go before this Jewish council. And they tell them, who is this in the power that you speak of? Who did you do this through? And Peter steps up and says, it was in the name of Jesus. It wasn't by any power that we could have. And then we get down to verse 13 and they see the boldness of Peter. They see the boldness of John being willing to stand up and preach truth rather than lies. And like I said, their backs are against the wall. They don't know what to do. All these people have seen the true living God work a miracle. They can't deny it. Peter has spoken in the name of Jesus. They can't deny who Jesus is at this point because everybody's seen it and everybody in the land is glorifying God and people are being added to the church. And I thought of the excitement of that. What if people on the outside of these church walls saw us just getting excited, saw people getting saved every week, saw people being added to the church daily? They'd be wondering, like, that's got to be something real that's going on. That's got to be truth that they are speaking out there. And so that's exactly what happens. And then we see a prayer for boldness after the verses that we read. In verses 23 all the way to 31, a prayer for boldness. I think they've been bold already, right? I think they've been filled up with the Spirit. They've seen what's happening. They've seen the miraculous power of God. They've been filled up with the Holy Spirit. But they still go, and they've been let go from the Jewish council because there was nothing wrong with them. They didn't find any false teaching, and they couldn't find anything to arrest them for or to keep them for, so they let them go. But they threatened them. They said, do not speak again in the name of Jesus. Contain yourself. Do not go out and speak this to our people. We're going to be the controllers of the doctrine that gets let out to their ears. So contain yourself. Don't do it anymore. And in verse 20, Peter and John stand up, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I don't know about y'all tonight, but I can't contain myself when I'm talking about the things that God has done in my life. I can't contain myself when I see God working and I want to go tell somebody about it. And I think every Christian should have that attitude. Every person in here tonight should have the attitude of, I don't want to contain myself anymore. I have to speak about what God has done in my life. These people are sitting in prison. They're brought before the Jewish council, the authority in the land. They are nobody to these people. They are unlearned, unknowledgeable. They have not been examined by the boards as people that can go and teach the doctrine. And they're saying, I can't contain myself. I have to preach this doctrine because it's true. It is the word of Jesus Christ, and people need to know it. People need to be saved. And I love how bold Peter is. When he's talking to these people, he's saying, listen, repent. So if you're lost in here tonight, if you haven't come to know Jesus, it's simple. Repent from your ways. Repent from the lies of the world and the sins that you've committed and say, I want to live a new life with Christ. I want to be saved. And He will forgive you right there. God will meet you where you're at. He will fill you up with the Holy Spirit and save your life, just like He did right here in the New Testament in Acts. These thousands of people that were added to the church because of truth. So maybe you haven't heard truth before tonight. Maybe you're visiting tonight and you haven't really been in church or heard the gospel. It's a simple process to just repent. Know that we serve the living God, the risen Christ that can save our soul for eternity. We can live in Him with heaven for eternity if we would just turn from our ways, turn from the world's ways, and go towards His ways, His plans, live a life for Him, build a relationship with Him. But I'm not done. A prayer for boldness, as I said earlier. They get let go. And Peter and John immediately go back to their people. And it says in one accord, they all started praying together, crying out to God. It says that after they went and reported what had happened in the Jewish council, Peter and John went and gave this report of what had been said, what had been done, what was going on at the time when they were in prison, telling them about all these the people being saved and that they're going to continue to speak the name of Jesus to people. And it says when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then in verse 28, it says, for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. You know what their threatenings are. They've threatened us to not speak the name of Jesus. They've threatened us to contain ourselves, that we can't do what we've been doing in the name of Jesus because they don't like it, because they know it's truth. And they know that people are getting saved. Doesn't it frustrate you when people say, well, you can't talk about God here? You know, you don't show your religion here. This isn't the place for that. Every place is the place to share Jesus Christ. I don't care where you're at. It doesn't have to be in the church setting to share Jesus Christ. These men are saying, you know what? Everyone's against me, but my God is for me. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to preach the name of Jesus Christ because I can't contain it any longer. I've seen what He's done. I know what He does in my life. I know how He's worked in my life, and I'm ready to share that with other people. And I love what it says right here. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And 31, listen, this is powerful. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were willing to pray to God in one accord. They were willing to come together as Christians, as a family, just like we can do right here at Grace Baptist Church, come together as a family in one accord and lift our cries up to God and say, God, give us boldness. Help us to build our faith. We want to proclaim truth. We want to go out and speak the name of Jesus to everybody that we come into contact with. Give us the boldness to do that. And I think God would shake this place up. I think God would start revival. You know, we know that prayer brings revival. Relationship with God brings revival. I also think that boldness brings revival. Why else would they be praying for it? They've seen a lot of things happen up to this point. They could be satisfied with what they've seen, but they say, no, we want to continue to speak. Please give us boldness, God. And it says, they spoke the word of God with boldness after they were filled up with the Holy Spirit. Do we have any Christians tonight that are filled up with the Holy Spirit, that are excited about God, that want to proclaim His name? I mean, I get excited about that. I want to go out these doors and I want to go just continue to preach and right on down the street. I want people to know who Jesus Christ is. There is a lost and dying world out there that needs to know. And they're getting a lot of fake news out there. They're getting a lot of lies out there. And think of the truth that we could spread to them, the love that we could spread to them, the forgiveness that we could spread to them, showing them that, listen, the world, it's messed up out there. Y'all know that. Click on the news. It's messed up. The stuff that we see every day, the stuff our kids deal with, our students. And I just think, what if we could be the change agents? What if we could be the people to change our community? Evans, Georgia, Appling, Richmond County, the whole CSRA. We could be the ones to stand up and get excited, be bold, understand that God will fill us up with the Holy Spirit if we're willing to just proclaim the name of Jesus, speak in the name of Jesus, represent Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are representatives. And it is tough sometimes. Representing Jesus Christ, that's going to be me? I have to do that? I have to provide the example? It's tough and it can be scary, but it's so rewarding. So rewarding knowing that I can go out and I can be the example to my community. I can speak to them in the name of Jesus Christ. I can share with them truth. And they can come to know Jesus Christ. And I don't care who's against me. I don't care what my job says. And I know that's really easy for me to say, right? I'm a youth pastor. I can talk about God all I want. People can say I'm crazy or they can love it or whatever. But that's my job, to speak about Jesus Christ. But I haven't always been a youth pastor. I worked in the school system. And a lot of people today would say God doesn't belong in the school system. And I can tell you, from day one of me going to that school, I was excited about God. I wanted to share with people about God. I didn't care that it was a school system and that wasn't the place for it. And because of that, because I was just bold and wanted to share the gospel with people, we started a prayer group on Monday morning with teachers. And teachers are able to come to that. I've been able to pray with that principal in his office, just me and him, say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for the school? And they let me in the door. That would have never happened if I wouldn't have just asked, if I wouldn't have just been bold and said, hey, can I pray for these teachers? Can we start a group? Can we read the Bible on Monday mornings? An FCA group got started there for the first time this year in many years. The power of God's moving in that school because people are willing to stand up and say, we want it in our school. We want to speak truth to these kids because they need it. And these teachers need it. The faculty needs it. People at your job, at your career, wherever it may be, need Jesus Christ. And we as Christians have to be the ones to get excited to proclaim his name, to say, you know what, I'm going to be like Peter. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to speak truth to people, and I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to see people come to know God. I'm going to see people get excited about the things of God, and no one's going to be able to deny it. Just like that Jewish council wasn't able to deny the miracles that God had done. Because all the men in the land were glorifying God and praising God for what they had seen. These people getting saved, a lame man being healed after 40 years, leaping and jumping and praising God. And then Peter getting up and saying, listen, repent. This is what you need to do to be saved. All who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved, but repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. So maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're in a position where you need to repent, where you've never met Jesus, where you're lost, and you feel like you need to be saved. The Holy Spirit, you feel it convicting you, tugging on your heartstrings tonight, saying, listen, like you're going to live in this world without me or with me, and it needs to be with me. And think of that. Think of all the souls that they saw get saved. Think of the people that they saw get excited about God, adding to the church daily. People coming out of the woodworks to praise God. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? Seeing visitors come every day just praising God, excited about what was going on because we're telling them, because we're showing them what God's done in our life, because we can't contain it anymore. As Christians, my challenge for you tonight, never contain the name of Jesus. Don't think that you have to hold back your love of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest love you'll ever know, and I'm excited about it. I want to spread it around. I want other people to experience the love of Jesus Christ like I have. I want other people to experience what he will do in their life if they're just willing to bow down to him, to praise him, to let him work in their lives every day. And it's not just because I'm a preacher or a youth pastor. It's because I'm a Christian. You don't have to be a preacher to proclaim the name of Jesus outside of these walls or inside of these walls. You just have to be a willing Christian, willing to stand up and be bold for your faith, willing to say, you know what, I don't want to contain it anymore. I don't want people to say, I can't talk about Jesus, or I can't share my religion with people when I know that they're going down the wrong path. When I look out and I try to see a need, we try to meet it as Christians. See the need and meet it. Go out and meet the needs of the people that need to hear the gospel, hear the words of Jesus Christ. Be like Peter here. Be like John. Say, I can't contain it anymore. I can't hold back the things that I've seen and the things that God has done for me. And that is when I really believe honestly believe we would experience a true revival when we started getting excited about God, when we pray for that boldness, when He shakes this place up and gives us the words to say, when He gives us the boldness that we need to stand up and be the Christians that we're called to be. So that's my challenge tonight. Don't contain it. Get excited about it. Spread it. Don't think that you have to hold back. Don't ever hold back when it concerns Jesus Christ. You never know who be watching or who may be listening, ready to hear a word. So let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. Two things tonight that I want you to think about as we get ready to go in this invitation time. Have you been containing the name of Jesus Christ too long tonight? Have you been worried what the world will think? Have you been frustrated at your workplace because you feel like you can't speak about your faith? Or students, do you feel like you can't share Jesus in your schools to your friends? Don't contain it anymore. Make a commitment to just stand up and follow God, proclaim His name, exalt Him, glorify Him. And you'll experience a love like you've never known. I think you'll experience an excitement that you've never known, knowing that He shows up and shows out every time. And also tonight, if you're lost, you've never come to know Jesus Christ, and you realize tonight that you need to be saved. I'll be down here. Brian will be down here. Other adults will be available. But if you need to be saved tonight, repent. Say, I want to turn from my ways. And I want to live a life for God. I want to live a life for Jesus. And I want to proclaim that, knowing that He saved my life tonight.